unto thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there were workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and the holy vessels of God, into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, then we shall prosper if we shall take heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments of the Lord. But we have not done so, even from the beginning, so that all that thou hast made has been cast into a great and untold misery, and that is experienced by each and every one in a measure, and that is laid upon us from thee. Another family in our midst once again in this week cast into mourning, a missing of a beloved father, a husband, a loved one, a voice, and that shall no more be heard in the midst of that family. Wilt thou give unto them that missing of thee? For they cannot be joined any more unto him. But it is possible when we have forsaken thee, that we can be brought back again. Oh, that they and all of us together may be given to feel something of that great missing, for we were created in thy image, and sin has brought upon us so much wretchedness and misery, created over all of thy creation, also the beasts of the field. But we have by our iniquity We have brought ourselves lower even than the beasts. For thou knowest our sin, even against thee, a holy and a righteous God. O draw us, Lord. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. The winds, they go about in their circuits. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, each one given a little space, a little time, here upon this world that still endures, each one a little opportunity, one more, one less. Great blessings by thee given unto us and unto our children, all for which we will stand before thee and give an account on that great day of days when it becomes our turn. Each one of us shall receive our turn to appear at that judgment seat. Oh, that thou wouldst bind these matters upon our hearts, as we can read in thy word that Mary did choose that good part, and that good part that would never be taken away from her. Oh Lord, how is it that she has chosen that good part? We do not choose that good part. We choose the evil part. We have chosen it and do choose it each and every day again. Then we will have none of thee. We have turned our backs unto thee. And thou callest unto us, turn ye every one from your evil way. But we are lovers of our evil ways. We are lovers of this world, of sin, of iniquity. Oh, then how is it possible? And that anyone would choose that good part, cometh it not, O Lord, out of thy good hand? Cometh it not alone from thee? Is it not thy work and the work of thy own Spirit? Does it not come out of that great eternity? And does it not come out of that great predestination, that electing love of the Father already in eternity? And the names written in thy most holy book, in that book of life, O Lord, that thou wouldst come then unto us and unto our dear children. Choose, no, we will not choose except for the devil. But oh, that thou wouldst choose us, Lord, that thou wouldst come over. That is our only hope. It is our only expectation for us and for our dear children. Oh, that the things that take place around us, the sicknesses of those whom we love, for there are many here in this land, but also in the Netherlands, as sick, very sick, even approaching unto the gates of death. Oh, that these matters may be bound upon our hearts, that thou may remember all that mourn and all that are sick. But that our hearts also all together as a congregation, oh, that they may bow before thee, that we may be instructed by thy Spirit through thy word, and that we may be given life from the dead and true and saving faith that may believe in thee and thy holy word, and that we may know from where that we have come, the height of our creation, the depth of our fall, and the depth of that great pit out of which thou dost lift thy people. O Lord, that there may be those that may feel, that may experience something of it, and that they may cry unto thee, and that they may experience thy great power in all their powerlessness, and thy great goodness in all their rebellion, and all thy holiness, and thy beauty in all their wretchedness and blackness, so that they may be given one day to say with the bride, I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, that they may be given to speak of their beloved as she has spoken of him who was to her her beloved and her friend, who was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000.
Oh, that thou may give in the life of thy dear children a little of that encouragement and a little of that that spirit of thee that may draw them once again to acknowledge thee and who that thou art for them. For there is nothing from our side which we are able to bring to thee that can be pleasing in thy most holy sight. But all that must come from thee, and then thou wilt be pleased with it. Oh, that thou mayest visit thy people, Lord, and that thou mayest look upon them in the days in which we live. For thou knowest the drought that is experienced in our days. Oh, then it is our own fault, for we have left thee days without number. But thou art able to knock upon the door of the heart of thy children to awaken them from a bed of sloth. Oh, that thou mayest give it in the days in which we live with our children, and that there may be a reviving once again as the corn. Oh, that thou mayest draw, that we might run after thee, and that thy children, that they may look upon themselves, how that they have made themselves so filthy and so guilty time and again, even after received grace. Oh, that they may come again with weeping and with supplications, wilt thou draw them, Lord. And then they will come, and then they will draw nigh. Oh, then they will receive again the arms of love about them, even as the prodigal of old, a ring on their finger and shoes on their feet, and thou wilt call for the killing of the fatted calf. Oh, that thou mayest remember, Lord, seek us out, both young and old, look upon the children and the youth. Also callings are coming unto them, even in the days of their youth, of their childhood. Those that do stand at an open grave with hearts full of love for a loved one. Oh, then, Lord, wilt thou bind it upon the hearts of the youth. Oh, give them to see and to feel that this life is so vain, it is so empty, that they might see that there is a substance to be gained, to be had, and that it is all out of thy free and sovereign grace. Oh, that they may be given in the days of their youth to remember their Creator, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, and when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them, and while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, and while the clouds return not after the rain, and give them in the days of their youth to give their the strength of their young bones unto thee, all the energy and all that is of the youth and of the childhood. For thy word says that childhood, that is vanity, but Lord, when thou givest it in the heart of a child, oh, then thou canst make it be filled with substance already. Look upon us, to whom shall we go, Lord, but unto thee? And thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are so empty, and we are so ignorant, and we are so wretched and so sinful in ourselves. Give us eyes to see it and glorify thyself in the life and in the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, magnify thy name over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Give many to go forth yet to bring thy word, and that amongst Jew and Gentile, those that are deprived of thy word, that it may go forth, that it may receive the privileges, and that we and our children may receive even in these days. Those that have a conscience and who know that they have to appear before God, but have never heard and known who that He is, and how that they can return again unto Him. Oh, that do not know where all that misery in the world has come from, and that have never heard of the evil of sin, and have never heard of the great blessedness of thy salvation. Oh, and who maketh us to differ, Lord? None but thee alone, that we may not waste the gifts and that are given unto us, but that we may use them. The reading of thy word, the hearing of thy word, and of the books that are based thereon, and that we may use them with a great diligence, that we may be given to sit as a Mary at thy footstool, to choose that good part that shall never be taken away from us. Help us, Lord, in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou fill us with a little measure of thy Holy Spirit? It is from our side so undeserved. We sin it away every time again. But wilt thou strengthen us to do this labor? Give us that wisdom and that clarity that is necessary, and that unction of thy Holy Spirit that we cannot give unto ourselves. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house he should prepare. And what follows in 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 367.
Beloved congregation, Naomi said unto Ruth, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" What was that rest that Naomi did seek for her daughter-in-law? That was the rest of marriage. Maybe there will be here parents, mothers, wives, they say that is not very restful. That is true. There are many cares, there are many troubles, there are many sorrows often that are connected to marriage. And yet a wife who is married to a husband still has a certain blessed rest. Why? Because she is in covenant. She is in covenant with her husband. So then there is something she does not have to do, and that is to provide for herself. Then she may depend on her husband for everything. And she may also partake of the riches, the benefits, the glories of her husband. And she may partake of his wisdom, of his strength. And she may also enjoy something of his blessed communion. By him alone, she may be an instrument to bring forth his posterity and to perpetuate his glory in the midst of this world. Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? It is true that because of sin, so many miseries have come upon the married life. But now, Naomi, what was that blessing that she did seek for her daughter-in-law? Was that a blessing merely that it may be for this life? Or was she looking for a greater blessing for her daughter-in-law? Truly, Naomi understood something of the spirituality of what it meant to be a near kinsman. Truly, Naomi was not ignorant of the fact that Israel was not only a people that were the national people of the Lord on this earth, but she understood something about how that Israel was a representation, and that the Lord's people, that they are in that mediator that was to come, that she saw something of that beautiful type in that near kinsman, so that Naomi did seek for a blessing for Ruth that was even greater than the blessings of a married wife here below. No, that married life that is not for every woman in this world. The Lord, he is making those decisions, those choices. But now that marriage that Naomi was looking for her daughter-in-law, oh, for whom? For whom would that not be suitable in the midst of this world?
Because though there are many troubles in that married life also, in that spiritual life, because the Lord, He says, follow me. And that people, and they have to follow Him in the way that He went in the midst of this world. It is a way of trial. It is a way of tribulation. And He said the disciple is not above his master. And the servant is not above his Lord. Oh, many trials, many afflictions, and yet there is no true rest. Oh, there is no true rest outside of that marriage. That is what our fathers say. What is thine only comfort in life and in death, that I might know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, in Him is that true rest. Oh, how may that established church not look upon the concerned church and say within their heart, oh, may I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. Let us consider something of this in this afternoon with the Lord's help. From 1 Chronicles 22 and there of the 9th verse. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 9. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. So far the words of our text, the man of rest. First, rest for the man. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. The rest for the man. Second, rest for his people, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. So far, the man of rest, first rest for the man, and second rest for his people. We read, congregation, that David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in the land of Israel. That means that David was approximately 70 years old when he passed away. Is that old? We say maybe that is not so old. Father, grandfather, he was also that age. You say he was not so old. And yet the Bible says that David was old, and that he was full of days. What does Moses say the days of the years of our life are? And they are 70. That is 70. Thus, 70 years, that is, humanly speaking, the life of a man. How many years do you have left? Are we able to subtract 70 years? How long do we have to get any more what David had? David got it in his youth, boys and girls. David got it already when he was on the fields of Bethlehem, when he was doing that very humble work of caring for the sheep. How is it with us? How old are we? How far have we come already upon the pathway of life? How close are we standing unto the day of our death? And do we have yet what David had in the days of his youth? You say, what did David have? Well, we heard something of what David had in this chapter, because he is speaking unto Solomon, his son. You do that too sometimes, fathers, to speak unto your sons, to speak unto your daughters. That is not so easy, and yet it is our responsibility. Just sometimes, a few words sometimes. Oh, do your children know a little bit what lives within your heart? You say, what did David have? He speaks to his son. He says, my son, my son. Do you see them, fathers? Those children, those boys and girls, those young people, they are sitting next to you. Oh, do you look at them? Sometimes we are busy. We are busy with everything that is in this world. Do you look at them sometimes and do you say, my son, my son, my daughter, my daughter, my son, Solomon says, David says. Oh, how glad that David would have been to know the future of his son, when he would have known what would have taken place in his life. Oh, how disappointed that he would have been to know everything about his son, what would happen even in the life of his son. Then he would have to experience that who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. But with a tender heart, David, he says, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. Do you hear what David had, children, young people? Oh, what did David have? David loved the Lord. Do you have that? Do you have that? Oh, the Lord my God. David is old. He says that now. He could not always say that. No. But maybe, children, maybe in your heart, though you may not say that, you do not dare to say that with your mouth. But are there some of you that are sometimes with that word of God and out of the love of your heart that you say? That you say quietly, oh, the Lord, my God. Do you have a desire, children, boys and girls? Do you have a desire to seek the Lord while that you are still young, while those evil days come not, as we read in God's word, because our life, that goes by so very, very quickly. As for me, it was in my heart to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. Oh, that is love. That is love for the Lord, and that is lying in that heart of David. And what is David? Where did David get that from? That did not come out of his own heart. It does not come out of our own heart. Do you feel that? Maybe you say, young people, maybe you say that this afternoon. You say, to be honest, you ask me that question, does the love of the Lord live in your heart? And maybe you have to say, to be honest, to say, minister, it does not. It does not. If I am honest, then all the world that lives in my heart, and I have nothing in my heart that goes out after the Lord. Oh, do you have to say that, young people? Do you have to say that, father and mother? When you have your children, and you say, maybe there is nothing, nothing that I can say unto my son and unto my daughter. Oh, then you feel something. You feel a little bit, even in a natural way. How dead, how hard, how wretched, and how miserable that we are. Did your heart ever go up with a cry unto the Lord to say, Lord, deliver me from this pit? From this pit. All the pit of corruption that can bring forth nothing but sin and evil, and that there is nothing in my heart, there is nothing in my life that goes out after the Lord. Where did that come from in the life of David? That came from the Lord himself. It came from heaven. You know where to go for it, children? You know where to go for it? You have to go on your knees for it, because no one can give it to you. When your father, your dear father, your dear mother, when they would say, my son, my daughter, and when they would give with all their hearts something to you, then they are not able to give you anything. Do you feel that? Oh, go on your knees. Go on your knees before this God. And cry to him. Oh, ask him to give you something, the smallest part of what David had. When David could say, it was in my heart to build an house unto the name of the Lord, the love that was in his heart. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. Oh, that lived within the bottom of that heart of David, when he was still a young child. And David now had a desire to magnify, to honor, and to glorify that God whom his heart did love. All he wanted, not only that there would be a private place, because David, he had his private places. Do you have a private place? Because without a private place, congregation, we have no religion. We have nothing. We have only a form. But David, he had not only his private places. Oh, read the Psalms, and you can tell now what was living in the heart of that man of God. But David, he wanted also to have a public place. A public place where the people of the Lord could come together and where they could worship the Lord. That is proper. Oh, David had a desire. And that ark of the Lord that would not dwell only in a tent. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and then that ark was in a tent, and it was necessary and that it would be in such a tent. But now he says, I dwell in a house of cedar, and I have all the good of this world. And that ark of the Lord has that now to be in a tent. And he had a desire to magnify that name of the Lord. And you know what the Lord said about that desire that was living in the heart of David? You know what he said about that, young people? The Lord said it. He said it to David. He said, thou didst well that it was in your heart. Thou didst well that it was in your heart. You say that sometimes, fathers, to your children. That was not everything. Has to be that was wrong, and that was wrong, and that was wrong. No. But when they do what is right, I know. I know there is nothing good that lives in us. But sometimes now to say, now that is the right way, child. That is the way that you have to go. That is the way the Lord deals with his people. Oh, what good is living in your heart? Oh, you say, if I look in my heart, there is nothing good in my heart. It is all evil. It is all carnal. It is all vain. Between the cradle and the grave, if nothing comes from the Lord, nothing will be good in my heart, and that is right. But is there then something? Is there now something? Is there now anything that was ever in your heart that is from the Lord? Because what does the Lord do? He recognizes his own work in David. He says, it is good. Thou hast done it well, that was in your heart. David is not permitted to build a house unto the Lord. But the word of the Lord came to me, he said, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. David was a man of war. David had fought all of the battles of the Lord. And it was under the hand of David that the Lord has subdued all of the enemies of the Lord for the sake of his people. And now the Lord, he would not have that house that was to be built to his name associated with a man of war. And why not? Because that house that was to be a house of peace. It was to be a house of rest. That is now what is going to be experienced, the Lord says, in my house. The house of the Lord, congregation, that has everything to do with rest. That has everything to do with peace. It is in that house of the Lord that rest and that peace is declared unto that church of God. And now the Lord, he begins with the basis of that rest. What does he say? Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. The Lord himself gave to Solomon his name before that he was born. Why? Because Solomon was to be a type. Solomon was to be a type of Christ himself. And what does Solomon mean? Solomon means peace. Solomon would not have to fight. When Solomon came upon the throne, and then all those enemies, they were by David already, they were already subdued. Thus the Lord gave him rest from his enemies. So Solomon was a type of Christ in his victories. In his victories over all of his enemies. When all of those enemies would be subdued. For his name shall be Solomon. I will give him rest. The Lord gave to his son, to Christ, rest. He gave him rest from all his enemies. That was a rest that was from his father. After he, as the anti-type of David, had gone forth conquering and to conquer, then the Lord and his Father gave him rest. It says, I will give him rest that was given to him from his Father. The Father permitted him to be mocked. The Father permitted him to be scourged. The Father permitted him to be beaten. He permitted him to be smitten. He permitted him to be crucified. But after the resurrection, no more. I will give him rest. Oh, was that not a well-deserved rest? For him, for the Son of Man who has humbled himself so deeply for the sake of his church, who would now deny the Son of Man that rest that his Father had laid away for him after all of his labors, because we read in the Bible he became a servant. And what does a servant do? A servant, he is laboring. He became a servant of his Father to do the will of his Father. And in that he had to sweat. He had to sweat great drops of blood falling to the ground. Oh, is that not a well-deserved rest that the Father has given unto his own Son? After he being in agony, after he cried out in that agony, in his soul trouble, that he should now receive rest. Oh, who would deny him that rest? I will give him rest. Oh, for him there is no more trouble. Satan, he cannot buffet him anymore. The Pharisees, they also cannot mock him. Oh, the Romans, they are not able to hurt him. No, he is above everything. He is above all that strife. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. But that rest, that was not just for himself alone. No, if that was only for himself, then he would have never left his rest, because he had rest before that he came into this world. Why would he have left the glory, the communion, the presence of his Father? No, that was not just for himself. But he left that place in order that he may give others that rest. We see that in our second thought, rest for his people. What do we read? For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. That was the mark of the reign of Solomon, and that there was peace and rest in his days. That was a time of great prosperity for Israel. All the nations of the world, they paid tribute. Not a dog dared to move his tongue against the children of Israel. No, the Lord gave that peace and that quietness. You know, we read about that kingdom of Solomon, that Judah and Israel dwelt safely. Every man under his vine and every man under his fig tree. That is, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Oh, they were his days. I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. They were the days that the Lord had reserved to build him an house in the land of Israel. Why those days? Because that house has everything to do with peace and quietness. Now we read about the building of that house, that those stones were made ready before that they came thither, so that there was not a hammer or an axe or any iron tool to be heard while that temple was in building. No, everything was supposed to be peaceful. Everything was supposed to be quiet and restful. Is that for us too, children? Are you, when you come to God's house, then are you quiet? Are you reverent? Then you sit in reverence in the house of the Lord? Always. And what day do we come to his house? You say we come to his house on Sunday, on the Sabbath day. Yes, what day is that? That is the day of rest. 6 days shalt thou labor, the seventh day thou shalt rest. Where do we read that? You say we hear that every Sabbath day. Where? In the law? Oh? What law is that? Say, that is the law of God. Yes, but there were several laws of God. There was a moral law, there was a ceremonial law, there was a civil law. So what does that belong to? The seventh day thou shalt rest. Which law? Say, the moral law. That is right. That is, congregation, a great significance. Because there are some things that are in and of themselves not sinful. They are not in themselves wrong. Just like the eating of an unclean animal. That was in and of itself not something that was sinful. And now the Lord commanded the children of Israel that something that was not fundamentally evil in itself, that would be forbidden to them. Those things, they are for a certain time. Those things are for a certain people that don't necessarily belong to all people, do not necessarily belong to all times. They are things and that are made, a law that is made by the Lord himself about something that is not in and of itself evil. And now there are other things. There are other things that are in and of themselves sinful. We think about murder or theft or adultery. Those are things that are in and of themselves. They are fundamentally evil. The Lord, he has made that so in the creation of the world, even before there was any law of the Lord. To a man, those things were in and of themselves intrinsically evil. And the Lord has said of those things that they are forbidden. That is the moral law. These are not just for one people in the world or one time in the world. No, these are universal. These are eternal evils. That is why that law of the Lord is a rule of life for God's people always. The law of the Lord is good. It is holy. It is just. And now you say, well, murder, I can understand that. that seems to me to be intrinsically, in and of itself, an evil thing, a moral wrong. Not like eating a certain meat. Adultery, I can understand that. That is a moral wrong. And now the Lord has classed the rest of his Sabbath day. He has commanded that in his moral law. Thus, the rest of that Sabbath day, to transgress that Sabbath, is not just a ceremonial evil, it is not just a civil evil, but it is a moral evil. Say, why? Is that then the same as murder? Is that then the same as theft? Is that then the same as adultery? Why then that Sabbath, a moral evil? Well, what does the Lord say? He says, a son honoreth his father. A servant honoreth his master. Where does that come from? That comes from the very nature of the relationship between a son and his father. Do you ever feel that, young people? That is why it is a moral evil to disrespect your father or your mother. There is a relation that the Lord has made, and that is a sinful thing. And then we have such a disrespect. And now he says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. He says, if I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? No, that is not something that is just neutral in itself, that the Lord, he has commanded. But it is something that is in itself intrinsically evil. And therefore that rest that the Lord is commanding upon his Sabbath day, that is belonging not to the civil or ceremonial laws, but it is belonging unto his moral law. Let us sing 164, 1 and 2. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. And what follows, 164, stanzas 1 and 2. Congregation, the Lord is very jealous over the rest of His holy day. He has punished His own people, the children of Israel, 70 long years. And we read in God's Word that it was because they did not allow the land to rest. They did not grant even that land her proper Sabbaths. Why is that so important? Oh, we have so little impression of the goodness of the Lord. We have so little impression of the long-suffering of the Lord. And what it is now that the Lord has laid away for His own children. What was Israel traveling unto for 40 long years in the wilderness? They were traveling to the promised rest. Oh, there was a picture of that rest that is remaining unto the people of the Lord. And every Sabbath day again, we have a representation to draw our hearts. Did it ever draw our heart? It is a representation of that rest that remaineth unto the people of the Lord, both in a spiritual way, but also that heavenly way, that heavenly rest. I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Peace and quietness. That is now the blessing that is to be found in that greater Solomon. Unto a people who are in turmoil. What do we read? In his days. They were the days of Solomon. They are the days also of the greater Solomon. Oh, what are his days? They were the days that Solomon reigned. You say they are the days that Christ walked upon the world. Oh, they are the days that Christ is going about to visit His own people, that He comes with a little token, that He comes with a little word, that He comes with a revelation of Himself, that He comes to visit His own church. Oh, ask the people if they are not now His days. David longed for His days from the land beyond the Jordan. From the foothills of Mount Hermon, he longed for his days. Solomon longed for his days, and that he would look forth at the window, that he would show himself through the lattice, and that he would bring him into his chambers, and that his banner over me might be love. Oh, why? Why are his days so coveted by that people? Why are they so longed for by that people? Because the Lord says, I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Oh, do we know something? Do we know the smallest part of this peace and quietness? What is it based upon? Oh, it is based upon the victories that the Son of Man, and that He has gotten over all of His enemies, that the Lord, He has given Him rest round about, that all the enemies of the Lord, they are now subdued before Him. Oh, what a turmoil. What a turmoil can be in the heart of a man. Because of sin, because of guilt. Oh, how impossible, and that it becomes in the life of a man that he may be saved. But let the Spirit of the Lord, let it open for a moment, for just a moment, the victories of that Son of Man and all that he has accomplished here below. And in that moment there is peace. Suddenly there is quietness in that heart of turmoil. What a turmoil it can be in the heart of a man. And when he experiences with grief the separation between the Lord and his soul, do we know something? A little something, the smallest part of that grief because of that missing, family. You miss now, families, you miss your loved ones. How many of you? There is grief, there is sorrow. But is there now this sorrow? We wish this sorrow, that godly sorrow also upon you, and that you may grieve because that you hear not his voice, that you may grieve because we have left him in paradise. That the tears of your heart may flow out, and that there may be a heartfelt sorrowing after that true and that living God. What a grief can be in the heart of that people because of that separation. But give for once. Give that the Spirit of the Lord may come, and that they may give faith to apprehend the smallest part of the work of that blessed mediator who is standing between God and a sinner. Let him see that once for just a moment, and then I will tell you what was in his soul. Then there will be peace and quietness in that moment in his days. Are they not his days? His name shall be Solomon, the Prince of Peace. Wherever he comes, wherever he appears, ask the Lord's people every time again, no matter how much turmoil, no matter how much grief, when he is appearing, then there is peace and quietness in his days. Congregation, there is such a great rest in Christ for the weary, for the burdensome, for those who are heavy laden, for those who are toiling, for those who are in the warfare, for those for whom sin is become a burden. There is a rest. There is a rest for their conscience that is toiling under those burdens of guilt. There is a rest in the apprehension of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the apprehension by a true and living faith of that work that he has accomplished upon that cursed tree. Then there is peace. There is peace and quietness to be experienced in the heart of such a man. There is a great rest in him for a laborer. When faith may perceive something of that finished work, of that mediator. Are there toiling souls with that law of God, transgress that law? But I cannot bring myself, even all the guilt that is past, yes, but I cannot keep it. It is such an impossibility. Are there toiling souls? Because when the Lord gives faith, when he gives faith in exercise, and when they may see something of how that he has cried out, it is finished. Then they are made willing to be saved with their hands down. Then they may see for a moment How pleasing that is unto the Father. When they may receive of His victories. And then when they may only rest in it. And not try to replace it with their own victories, which they experience that they are not able to do. Oh, just to receive it by a true and living faith, to rest in it, then there is peace, then there is quietness in those days. Oh, there is such a rest in Him for His people in that warfare, so that when He is appearing in that victory, then those defeated soldiers, they may look upon all His accomplishments, and then they may say, that is now sufficient, and they may rest in it. And they may have a little peace and a little quietness even when there is a continued law within them, a law in my members that is warring against the law of my mind, that they have to say of myself, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, desiring to be delivered from the last remnants of sin that are left, but still to be able to rest and to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, do you see a little bit of that blessed rest that is laid away for that people, congregation? This is the Sabbath rest in its essence. They are little tastes of what the Lord is giving unto His church. Do you know what that Sabbath day is? Oh, we don't have to say one word yet. But when we come into His house, when we wake up in the Sabbath morning, oh, then there is already a preaching because it is the Sabbath day. Oh, will you think about that, young people, children, fathers, mothers, everyone? Oh, will we think about that every Sabbath morning, what the Lord is calling us unto, what the Lord is proffering before us, what we are rejecting in and of ourselves, when we are seeking all the rest that is in this world. All that is why the Lord, He has changed that Sabbath day to the first day of the week. Why? Because that was the day of resurrection, the resurrection of Christ. That was the day that the Father has declared that the payment that is completely finished. And He has justified His only begotten Son and His church in Him. Oh, that was His day. That is a day of rejoicing for His people. That is the day that the Lord has delivered that people from that need to satisfy that law of God, that justice of God, which they have to experience, that they are not able to do. It is a day, the day that the labor of the church of God is declared by the Father unnecessary, because it is all finished. And that they are freed, completely freed from the requirement of the law of God by his son, the greater Solomon. O congregation, is not the Sabbath day a blessed day of rest? Has it ever become so for you in the experience of your soul? Have you never experienced the smallest part of that true rest? Because when Christ, he is visiting his people, then there is just a dependence. Oh, just like a wife upon her husband, upon his accomplishments, upon his strength, upon his wisdom, upon his faithfulness, everything. Oh, when the Lord is coming, they can then lay everything in his hands, and then they may rest. And they may rest. Oh, it is by moments here below, and they may taste what is coming. You'd think they never went back to work. And yet, they do. They often go back to work again, to that work of great disappointment over and over and over again. And then the Spirit of the Lord, he has to call them back, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." O laboring people, are they here? Amongst young and old, we do not know the heart. No hammer, no axe, no tool of iron is to be lifted up in the house of the Lord. It is his Sabbath. It is a day of peace. It is a day of rest. Blessed be his great and his glorious name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can fathom thy great goodness for thy people, who are no different than anyone else in this world? For thou sayest that they are all gone aside, they are all gone out of the way, they have altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Oh, remember us as a congregation, that this little word may be for the drawing of many, and that we may feel something of thy great goodness and of thy love, and that we may desire that we may come again back from all our wretchedness and our misery, from all that we do seek here in this world, that we may see that the devil is a liar, and that thou art truth, and that thy goodness is so very great. Wilt thou magnify the name of thy dear and only begotten Son? His name shall be called Solomon. It will be peace. And it will be experienced not only by him, but also by his church, that we, O Lord, may not be left behind, not one of us, not young or old. Forgive all our many sins. Bless thy word. Humble us under thy goodness, also in this hour. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Keep watch over and protect young and old in this week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
426, stanzas 4, 9, and 10.
The Lord preserves the meek most tenderly. Brought nigh to death, in Him I found salvation. And what follows 4, 9, and 10 of 426.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.